You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
There was an idea. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
This is The Tribe, brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and The Diz Insider.
Avengers!
Assemble.
Welcome to The Tribe. This is your host, the Blurred Hulk here, joined by my two amazing co-hosts who rounds out our Avenger team. We have Mr. a.k.a. Lou Knight, a.k.a. Lou Universal, a.k.a. I Can Go On Forever. And we got the podcast princess slash queendom slash what was didn't we give you a tribe nickname too? I don't know.
It was Queenpin.
The infamous Queenpin here. We have Sam. So starting with Luke, how you doing tonight? What's going on, my man?
Doing pretty good. Sore, but excited. Working on this Rocket and Friends piece that we're going to release here at Rogue. It's not Rogue City, right? It's Rogue Comic Con.
Rogue, yeah.
It's Rogue Comic Con.
I keep wanting to call it Rogue City.
No, yeah, I get it.
Rogue Comic Con in 2 months, so I am.
Let's plug Rogue Comic Con while we're talking about it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, for those listeners who don't know. We have one, first of all, the tribe is going to be at Rogue Comic Con. And for those who don't know, Rogue Comic Con is one of the biggest outdoor free Comic Cons that's in the United States. It takes place here in beautiful, gorgeous Southern Oregon. And it's happening on Star Wars Day this year, which is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So come dress up, fly in, drive in. There's plenty of hotels. We're going to have vendors and booths and the entire Walt's Apartment Podcast group and various people from all over the place, like Indiana, you know, the Southern stuck in the 1800s and stuff. They're all going to be here. So come on out, and you got to check this out. We got Lou, who's about to drop some new exclusive art just for this Comic-Con. I seen the sneak peek of it. Dude, I got to tell you guys, you want to be there and cop this. If anything, get a, I don't know if I'm putting Lou on the spot, but get a signature. When you buy one of his pieces and stuff, he'll be there to sign it, maybe take a picture with you and stuff. So you got to check it out, Rogue Comic-Con. It is a one-day big main event. It set a record, and we're going to try to double that record to make sure we are the biggest outdoor free Comic-Con in the U.S.
So Sam, what you come from, like with the 1900s? Have you already booked your stagecoach? Like, I mean,
you
should be traveling like 2-3 weeks before you.
Yeah, you probably leave next week, right?
Yeah, I'm actually taking the Oregon Trail.
Perfect.
The Oregon.
Oregon.
There's that accent. Oregon.
Stop it. I do not have an accent.
Well, I got to say this. I'm sorry, Sam. To our tribe, Sam, we've always known Sam had a really thick Southern accent and stuff.
I do not have a Southern accent.
Sam does not think she does. Like, I mean, we're on the West Coast and stuff. But it was just normal. Like, hey, Sam, cool, Southern girl. But she's been talking this whole time, and she's not self-aware that she has a really thick country accent. And so if you're a fan, chime in, reach out to us, you know, type in the comments, and let us know if you think Sam has a Southern accent and stuff. This is an illuminating experience for her.
Because I don't have an accent. I do not have an accent.
It's such a precious little accent.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Stop. Stop it. But yes, we're super excited. We're super excited for Rogue Comic Con. We are going to be the main stage host. We'll be hosting the costume contest. We're going to hope to go live on our socials while we're there if we can make that happen. We'll be doing some recording. Actually, the three of us like have not met. Have you guys met?
No, not in person.
You have?
Yeah.
When?
You don't remember meeting? What?
No, I'm asking Lou and David. Have you guys met?
Yeah.
Like in real life?
Yeah, D23 last year.
Oh my gosh, shut up. I'm so done with you. Okay, so actually, the three of us, I think, are the only ones who have not met, which is crazy. Like the rest, everybody else has met each other. So I'm super excited to be able to meet David and Lou. And give Lou a hug and tell him how much.
Whoa, Whoa Daddy.
Okay, all right. That must be something they do in Indiana. See the accent and hugs. Okay,
how they greet people in Indiana.
Yep.
No, Lou is not a hugger. He's not a hugger, and he's not an "I love you" kind of person. So he's
greet people like Keanu Reeves.
With a bottle of sanitizer sprayed at them?
No, when I do hugs.
An air hug?
An air hug. I mean, we have one of our previous hosts has a photo out there, and you see my hand hovering. It's like, yep, there it is. And nope. New contact. It just went quiet. Like, oh.
Well, no, it's because that's not going to be the case. It's fine.
She's soaking in what you're saying because she's going to hug you anyway. It doesn't matter what you say.
I am literally going to squeeze the life out of you.
It doesn't matter. She don't respect boundaries. She's just going to go in for the hug. And she made her mind up about it.
All
right.
I'm going to scream all over Oregon. Stranger danger! Stranger danger!
Especially since
Sam's like 6'8". Like she's gonna like,
that's something. We heard she's a tall woman, like
tall accented woman.
So since the last meetup that some of the other hosts got to meet Sam and stuff, we heard that you know she looked like she played for the Washington Liberty WNBA team. Like she can handle herself. She's like an Amazonian, like
she.
One Sam of those had her first women, so.
Acting career in dodgeball. Remember the look, Sam? You saw her as a teenager in dodgeball. She got caught with the tranquilizer. Remember?
Oh my
god! Remember that Girl Scout one that started crying? That was Sam. That was her early acting career.
So done with you guys. Okay, we're here to talk about the tribe. We're talking Marvel. So we've got some fun planned for y'all tonight. We're going to be talking about what comic book characters we would like to see introduced into the MCU that have not been yet. And then we are going to be ranking the 5 best and 5 worst MCU films, or just Marvel films in general, in our opinions. And we'll probably have a little controversy in that because, Lewis, his opinion's usually wrong on everything, so it's fine. I'm just kidding.
Already.
I'm just kidding. And then we will tell you what to expect. I do have some news before we get started. So the last time that we talked, we weren't sure how they were going to release X-Men 97. So we did get confirmation this week that there is going to be a 2-episode premiere on March 20th. And then we found out that the 3rd episode is going to be released March 27th. Episode 4 is going to be April 3rd. Episode 5, April 10th. So it seems like it's going to be a 2-episode premiere and then weekly after that. That is, we've had the 2-episode premiere confirmed. Everything after that we are assuming is going to be 1 episode. So I'm down with that. I'm excited.
X-Men 97 probably has the best marketing art of all the Marvel shows on Disney Plus. I really like the retro look they went with, and I'm very excited for it.
Oh, yeah. Same.
They've got, like, a lot they've got a lot to work with. It's not going to be very if you're not a fan of the original comic books or of the original TV show, you may not be a huge fan. Like, okay, so you're not going to have much of Professor X going on here. This is after Professor X has left Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You may see some of the prequel moments, kind of like.
I think they'll do some recap.
I think it'll be peppered in as like a flashback.
Yeah.
But just for anybody who's unsure, this is after Professor X has left Earth. So if you if you are like, no, Professor X is X-Men, this may not be for you. But give it a try.
And if you want the OG Cyclops, you're going to get that.
And if you want to go and watch the original animated series, it's on Disney Plus. Go watch it. Give yourself a basis before going into the new X-Men 97.
You're going to have fun. You get to relive what it's like to grow up in the 90s and you get to watch your X-Men and stuff. And some of the shows, I got to admit, we were different in the 90s. Like Gen X, this is our generation. Some of the shows aren't as appropriate as I thought as rewatching these. I'm like, they really did and said that thing. So just watch it knowing that these were 90 errors on the error type shows. And the new shows are not going to follow that trend other than the timeline piece, but it's going to be more updated stuff. So just be warned before you set your child down to watch X-Men 97 and consume all of them that we Gen Xers, we grew up in a different era. We were feral children and we could take a lot of stuff.
I'm still a feral child.
Still. But I'm excited. I can't wait. So it's going to be awesome.
And we will actually be recording content over that. We already have a show scheduled next week, I think, that we said we were talking about possibly. Let me scroll through my notes here. March 14th, we're going to do a pre-show and a storyline recap for X-Men 97. We said we're going to record then, and then we're going to jump in March 21st after that two-episode premiere, and we're going to talk about those first two episodes. So. Nice.
I'm stoked already for the intro.
Oh yeah.
That intro song, if it's the same one, it just hits.
Oh, it's going to. Oh, it has to. You can't mess with that. You're gonna take me out of it if you change that. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So are we going to get into this first topic here of picking like what Marvel characters do we want to see in the MCU here?
Yeah. I'm ready. Let's go.
So who wants to kick it off and go first?
Lewis.
Now, Lou picked five.
And four. I have four.
Oh, you got four, so he can rotate. We just picked the one we want to see, but I can always throw in and match.
I can throw in some more if you want.
But let's do the one. Who's your number one out of your four? Who's the top of your list?
Okay, so I have a question, though.
Okay.
Of course you do. This is a
technicality. Moon Knight is not technically in the MCU right now.
Yes, he is.
He's kind of standalone on the margins, but yeah, he's
is he not canon? Is he not canon?
He's canon.
Where though? And how on the show? Because
there's reference pieces like in the underworld and stuff that they mentioned some pieces that are connected. It's been a while since I've consumed it, but I can go back and find it. I know there's some.
So then I only have three then.
Okay.
And this one, I hope they do. And again, I'm not very fluent in characters that are not in the MCU. A lot of the ones that characters I knew have already made their entrance. So I had to go to the good old Google. But one
what are you talking about? Like you know how long I waited for Namor to be introduced into the comics? Like
or from the comics? Everybody,
yeah, I'm just saying, you got this.
So by default, I'm going to go with Silver Surfer since we have not seen him in the MCU yet. Okay. I think could be a very Wild.
We have seen a fake. So, well, we've seen a fake Pietro. We've seen Pietro.
That's Quicksilver, not Silver Surfer.
Oh, Silver Surfer, Quicksilver. Never mind. Go.
The Herald of Galactus.
Silver Surfer. You're correct.
Because yes. I think, especially since we're seeing Fantastic Four, I think it could be really interesting. Especially since, from what I have read on him, they really butchered that character in the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four film.
Yes, they did.
So it'd be cool to see what he could do and how, especially since everything seems to be cosmic right now. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yes. I support that. I 100% because so, with that we get Galactus,
okay.
The World Gobbler as well.
You want to know what's great about this conversation? Do you want to know who I picked? It's an enemy. It's an enemy of Galactus. Namor's not an enemy, but it's not. Stop. It is not an enemy. I would say, but Moondragon.
I never got into Moondragon comics.
Okay, but Moondragon's a total baddie. Like I mean, obviously, I'm going to pick a female because we need more of those in the MCU. Just kidding. We have a ton right now. And I love that. I love that. But she is freaking badass. One, she could get rid of Doctor Strange for us because he's annoying as hell right now. Brings in Galactus, right? Her telepathy is like freaking incredible. And she's got crazy martial arts ability. Plus, I mean, she makes the bald head look good, just like, you know, the
ancient one?
No. Okoye.
Oh, okay.
So.
From Black Panther and the Dora Milaje.
The Dora Milaje. Yep. So, I would go Moondragon. I would go Moondragon.
And I'll be rooting for the destruction of Moondragon. And
hopefully
we get the Dark Phoenix and would destroy the Moondragon. No. I'm trying to think of a storyline how you would introduce her. Because we can't do the Battle Wars because that's just too obscure. She's too and it's too powerful for her to even compete. It's such a weird like. It would have to be.
Well, close. I mean, it would have to be something tied in with the Guardians. Honestly.
It has to be unrelated to the current storyline. So that'd be the next phase is making more cosmic entrances and stuff. Now, if we do get Galactus and Silver Surfer, they do need we do need to get some more higher up cosmic celestial type beings and stuff introduced as well. So
have the Eternals. So like obviously there's a whole lot of celestial, like, but mm-hmm. Also we just saw a close to the Guardians trilogy and a little teaser for, hey, there may be more to come, but we have absolutely no idea what they're doing with Guardians right now.
It's on hiatus. They'll come back. Guardians was Gunn's baby. He did the stories he wanted to do, his three-part trilogies, and he did it in a way where we're not left, we want more because, you know, we do like some of the Guardians, but he did what he set out to do. He told a complete story. Peter Quill went back to Earth to go do his thing, but Peter Quill is not going to not Peter Quill. He's not going to start.
So that would be a good place to pull Moondragon into because that was where she kind of resided for most of the comics, was in the Guardians of the Galaxy. So with whatever is going to happen with Peter Quill, and we can bring Galactus in that way,
mm-hmm.
and then you bring in Moondragon, there's a lot you can play with there. There's a lot you can play with as far as what Peter Quill still has left and with what the other Guardians are off doing. And being able to bring them back together someday. Because I personally, I was kind of like, meh, about the Guardians until I saw that last movie. And, I was like, oh, shit, they're not together anymore. They're doing their own thing. I can't have this. I need them back together and I need them to, be doing fucking, sorry, Sean, this episode is explicit. I need them back.
So I'm not going to lie. I actually, Sam, I kind of agree. But I was met about the Guardians from the interim. I was like, why are we going to put this obscure ass group of ragtag.
They grew on me.
I don't want to hear this story. I want X-Men. I want Fantastic Four. I mean, I really was like, ugh. And then I saw it. I fell in love, and I liked the characters and the development and the way they went. So they brought in some B-tier. I mean, and most people don't realize, too, Iron Man was not A-list top-tier freaking hero at all. Yeah. And they did amazing rocketing him to the marquee, everything is around him kind of. And I give him credit to that. That was amazing how they did that and stuff. But, yeah, I was like, eh, about the Guardians and stuff. And I'm kind of about Moondragon. But it may work. It's just not something I thought of. So I need to sit with it more and stuff.
Listen, you didn't think about them bringing Namor into Wakanda Forever.
I still.
Stop it. You know that movie was absolutely fantastic.
That movie was brought in
an incredible way. And you're like, God damn, I kind of want to see where this goes some more.
His acting was dope. They had some dope shot scenes and stuff. Him descending onto his throne was an iconic scene. I have to admit they did great with his introduction to it.
Want it? No, not in particular. But now that you got it, you're like, all right, that was kind of badass. So it's like, what else can we do with this? So it could be the same with Moondragon.
If you ask me honestly how to make that movie better, and this is going to sound, and this isn't a knock to Letitia Wright, who plays the new Black Panther, but I would love to see Namor versus T'Challa in the interim. I just if someone's just asking me, being honestly, what do you think could have made that better and stuff, and then that would have been it. But I respect to Letitia Wright. She did a phenomenal job playing.
And rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman.
Absolutely. So it was a great movie. I loved it. And I didn't ask for Namor. In fact, I was anti-Namor. And I used to make fun of him and his little twinkle wings on his ankles and stuff. And even they managed to pull off how he was banking in the air with that, kind of making that look a little kind of cool. So I'll eat my hat on that one and stuff. Sam,
so Sam was it could right. be the same thing with Moondragon. Just saying.
Nah. But okay. So I'll do.
Catch me in 5 years, and we'll have this conversation again.
So here's mine. I want to see so bad, and I thought we were going to get a cameo from them in like WandaVision or in Captain Marvel or something, but we did not. I want Mr. Adam Brashear, aka Blue Marvel, who is technically the Superman badass version of the Marvel Universe and stuff. I mean, Blue Marvel is the only person who co-cocked the Hulk with one punch. Excuse me. Wow. Back off. Let me just tell you guys, Thanos whipped the Hulk's ass. And I'm going to push back on this for everyone who's saying the Hulk is weak and stuff like that. No, Hulk will always be a badass, and sometimes he runs into villains who power strengths he's never met before, and they get the best of them. But Hulk always comes back. You're not going to get round two on him, period. If Hulk wants to fight you and kill you, he's going to fight you. So I'm just defending Hulk and stuff. People gave him so much crap about that ass whooping he got from Thanos. And nobody talks about the fact that Hulk wasn't the only one who got his ass whooped by Thanos. They didn't show Thor getting his ass whooped by Thanos, but before Hulk jumped into the scene, Thor was already bloodied and beat to shit. And nobody craps on Thor about that at all. Seeing Thor's weak. He got beat up by Thanos because they didn't show it. They just came into the scene where he's already beat to hell. Thanos walking around. Then they showed the fight with really to show Thanos strength and stuff. But Adam Brashear, Blue Marvel, solo dolo Hulk once and ran away. Shocked himself and stuff. he can hang toe-to-toe with a lot of the top-tier Avengers, a lot of the top-tier Celestials, and everyone else. So I would love to see Captain Adam Bashir, who I thought was going to be a part of WandaVision, or Captain Marvel or something, and we haven't seen that quite introduction quite yet. So I'm holding out hope that we do get Blue Marvel introduced into the mix of the MCU. He'd be a great leader for the Avengers, because right now they don't really have a solid anything. They're kind of scattered and separated doing their own stuff. So there's my hat into the, I don't know what you say. Take my hat in the ring. Yeah. Hat in the ring, Blue Marvel.
I like that. Honestly, I'd be good with that. I'm good with it. And honestly, you're right. We've had this conversation before, I think, where we said, mm-hmm. like, we thought that Blue Marvel was going to be introduced and wasn't. So,
yep.
I like when our speculations lead to developing theories that we further want to see the MCU pursue. But hey, a great conversation. Love this.
So I do have one pushback though.
What? Go ahead.
Pushback. I think the reason why people are so much harder on the Hulk than Thor is, unfortunately, we saw Thor getting his ass whooped emotionally and mentally prior to this. So it's like, for the Hulk, that was like our first time to realize, like, damn, he took an ass whooping. So I think that's why it was such a shock for everybody and saying, oh, he couldn't do it. We're just so used to Thor getting shitted on, whether it's by himself or his weight or his friends, that it was like, oh yeah,
for his lost. Party ways, just
yeah, it's again. So
he's a god.
Yeah, I'll give you that. They made it for a god. They really just let him fall down back to earth hard. Like,
yeah, he should be getting the same. But we got sympathy for Thor. People had disdain for the Hulk. So.
Then I think a lot of the haters out there about the Hulk is like, everyone, you hear about Hulk being unbeatable. So when he is beatable, they're like, see, he is not. And those are just your haters. Like, shut up. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, don't jump on DC's bandwagon.
And yeah, you're right. I mean, there will never be a round two, because if the Hulk decided to come out and fight, which honestly, here's the thing. I think we're going to go away from Professor Hulk. And I think we're going to get Incredible Hulk back. And I'm here for it. I mean, we can even do solo movies and stuff now with them and stuff. And oh my God, I would literally lose my, if we get a World War Hulk, World Breaker Hulk introduced, I shit you not, this, I will buy out a theater to go watch it. And so I can enjoy it by myself.
Are you going to, I was going to say, are you going to rent me a stagecoach and bring me out?
No, this is, I'm, oh my God. I will dress up in all of my Hulk fandom and stuff. The blurred Hulk, rented out this theater. He doesn't want to be disturbed. I'm watching World War Hulk.
You shall not pass.
He's going to send you a letter in the Pony Express.
Yeah. I'll live stream if they let me.
You're ridiculous. Okay. So, next topic of conversation. All right. We ranked our top five best, in our opinion, MCU movies. Mm-hmm. And our top five, or our worst. Lowest five. Our lowest five.
Worst. MCU or Marvel?
It doesn't have to be MCU. It has to be Marvel.
Yeah, anything be Marvel. A Marvel property.
Are we going 5, 4, 2, 3, 1? Not in that order, because I just messed up my count. I said 5, 4, 2, 3, 1. So never mind.
You okay, bro?
I thought I was until about 30 seconds.
I mean, I was going to go. We could do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go ahead. You go for it.
Okay. All right. Am I going first?
Yeah.
All right. For me, the first one on the list at the lowest part of the list is, why don't I pull up my list?
Oh, so we're doing backwards first.
We're doing
right. What do we start from five to lead up to our favorite one?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let me pull. Someone wants to go first. I got to pull my list that I typed up.
All right. I'll go. So, my all-time favorite top five. So, the bottom of my five is Deadpool. I love Deadpool. I'm a huge Ryan Reynolds fan, and I've been waiting for them to do Deadpool right. I was mad when they did Deadpool and X-Men with Ryan Reynolds, and they made him the Merc without a mouth. That was ridiculous. So when he got that redemption opportunity to do Deadpool and he executed that flawless, I loved it. So that was five for me. I'm just knocking out all.
No, just go ahead. Knock out your top five.
Okay. So rounding out, if four and three kind of goes back and forth, kind of interchangeable for me. So I have Endgame. It's close. It's between Endgame. I don't know, even as I said this and stuff, it's kind of hard. Endgame and Thor Ragnarok, they're really tight. I would say they're tied for third for me. So I go back and forth. They're interchangeable and stuff. I really love the ensemble piece for Endgame, but Thor Ragnarok just hits, and it was one of Thor's best movies and stuff. So I'm gonna say that's a tie for third place. There is no fourth, so they're tied for third. Civil War, one of my all-time favorites because of how they introduce the characters of Spider-Man and T'Challa. I love the story arc with Winter Soldier in it. I had to give honorable mention to the Winter Soldiers movie because I love that movie, but I'm giving Civil War number two. So that's another ensemble movie. And then out of all of Marvel's property movies and stuff, is number one is Blade for me. Blade set everything up. Didn't financially set things up, but proved that superhero movies are here and they're a force to be reckoned with and they're stories that can be told. And so it allowed Spider-Man to come about. It allowed the sell, the lease of all these characters to go in X-Men to Fox because they looked at Blade and was like, we can take some of these stories and we can put them in the live action on the big screen and make money off of it. And Blade did that. Besides, Wesley Snipes was the perfect type character for that. And so, yeah, those are my top five. Now, people want to say, well, what about Black Panther? I have different reasons, but Black Panther is up there. It's really, really how do I say this? I pick certain points of what I judge as far as my favorite movies, sentimental value to my core and what it means to me. Black Panther, one of my favorite movies of all time. It was a movie I got to share with my family, my kiddos. I got to take them to and really show them how their dad geeks out about Marvel and then watch them do the same. So it has that spot for me, but I'm ranking it based off of different points. And so because of that, Blade is my number one all-time Marvel property movie. If it was just MCU only, I would have put Black Panther on there.
So I totally forgot about Blade when I was ranking mine. But my list is not too indifferent than yours. So my number five is Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. Same reasons you said. Like, honestly, the only, I think, Thor media that I actually would care to consume more than one time. No offense to anything else. Number four is Deadpool.
Okay.
Number three is Endgame. Number two is Black Panther.
Nice.
And number one is Wakanda Forever.
Woo-woo. Okay.
So for me, the Black Panther movies just added an extra element to the MCU mm-hmm. that I felt brought so much more into the MCU. Like, as far as like different kinds of technology, you have so many teenagers that are being brought in with freaking brilliance. They're setting up the Young Avengers. They are introducing so many things for future timelines through the Black Panther series that, like, there's just an appreciation for the comic books that I preferred as a kid being brought into, like, because generationally.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit younger than you are, David. But yeah. Like, just a tad. But my generation of comics, I'm seeing more of those like Young Avenger things being brought in, the Dark Avengers, the Valentina things. Like, those things are all being brought into these newer films, and I'm just like, give me more. So to me, they speak to my heart a little bit more.
All right, I'm changing my mind. I'm bumping Civil War, and I'm replacing it with Black Panther. And it's because that's really Black Panther is what made Civil War for me. That whole introduction, like knowing T'Challa, waiting to see him suit up and stuff, but getting to see Black Panther in the full story, the sentimentalness and everything that it meant to me, and you get to watch, I'm putting it on the list. It is. I'm sorry, Civil War. What you meant for me to get on that list is the reason why I need to have Black Panther solid on that list. So that's what I'm replacing it with. Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
So I didn't know we were doing all Marvel films. So just when we started recording, so
that's okay.
One honorable mention that I would have had in my top five, but now I don't know where to put it just because we're on the spot. I really liked X2. That scene where Wolverine fights the female Wolverine, and you see her get pumped full of adamantium and just fall with her head capped. It's like, that was as a junior high schooler, I was like, whoa, what is this? And I loved it. And then you just see that cool look of it dripping down her face, like that. And then the scene
that is one of the best scenes like ever.
When he rips out the water, I was like, yes. That's my honorable mention. My list, the way I came up with is. Not really story, not really anything too crazy. Which movies that I can watch at any time of day, just throw on. And so for me, in my fifth spot is the Spider-Man. Is it Far From Home? No Way Home? The one where you get all three Spider-Mans. Like, that one right there was my number five.
No Way Home.
I mean, even though it kind of leaked that was going to happen, seeing it in theaters and seeing that they were in there for a good chunk of the movie.
Did you notice that Spider-Man did not make my top five? Just saying.
The Spider-Man Far From Home or No Way Home didn't make it for Spider-Man. I just lied that they hit on every nostalgia era of my life, my youth, my young adult, and my adult. I was like, all right, perfect.
You know that we used to have a thing on. I don't know if that was pre-Lewis, but we had a thing.
Yeah, I haven't heard why you don't like Spider-Man.
Okay, we'll talk about it another time because it is not a show for tonight. But it's not that I don't.
He's not a CW supernatural teeny bopper. Yeah,
he just annoys me. He annoys me because he is a teeny bopper, and he's not even a funny teeny bopper. Like, not at least the
one you kind of like.
At least Ms. Marvel is like, she's funny. He's lame. He's a dork. Ms.
Marvel is dope. Yeah.
And awesome. She's dope and he's a dork. Like, hi. Sorry, Lewis. Continue.
Okay. So my number four is Thor Ragnarok. I think Thor Ragnarok is absolutely amazing. Fun. Yeah, that one's number four. My number three is Avengers Infinity War. That's my number three. I thoroughly enjoyed that they lost at the end of that movie. I was one of the few people that clapped, like, because I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the snap and them to lose. So for me, I was like, way to go, Marvel. Way to throw the fans off. Like, and not only that. Well, not that, but I like when I'm surprised. Like, oh, what? And then they got rid of the whole part one idea.
He really does want me to hug him.
They ditched the part one idea, which I hate when films do that, because then you know, oh, we're going to get a cliffhanger. They ditched that, so I was stoked on that. So Avengers Infinity War is my number three.
Okay.
My number two, and simply just for a soft spot, I'm going with the first Iron Man, just because the fact that it culminated what we know today as the
MCU. Where it all started.
Yeah, so the soft spot. But number one is Guardians, the first one. Guardians, for me, I came across Guardians before I knew that it was a movie, that was coming to a movie, when I was trying to draw, I was drawing trees, and I wanted to do a character. And the picture, the comic picture of Groot on, or Rocket on Groot's shoulder, I was like, that's cool. What is this? Well, then I went to the world famous Wikipedia, learned what Guardians was. And then a few years later, I'm working in the theater, and I see it's coming out. And that was like the comic movie that I knew something about that nobody else was. So I was stoked for it, because I had that moment of almost like saying, like you talk about Namor, it's like, oh, I know who these guys are. And just nailed it. The music, the comedy, the action, it was great. I think Guardians was downright just a solid film. And I could watch that any time of the day, any time of the year, throw it on, start singing along, jamming along. And so for me, number one is Guardians.
I love that we all had different number ones.
Oh, yeah.
And like totally different, like Guardians, Wakanda Forever. David, what was your Blade? Like
Blade.
All so different from each other.
Yep.
Like not connected to each other whatsoever. And we all like that's how incredible Marvel fandom can be. Like we all sit here and we all appreciate everything that is given to us. Well, we may not appreciate all of it, but we take it for what it is and we consume it and we like have these deep dive conversations and we get to geek out over it, whether we liked it or not, because yeah. Even when it's something we didn't like, we're like, they could have done this or they could have done this, or, hey, like maybe they should try this. And that's what I love about the tribe.
See, and Black Panther almost made my list, but Black Panther was beautifully done. The first one, I mean, Wakanda Forever was beautifully done too, but it also had, they really had to comb that neatly because there was so much right on it. But Black Panther 1 almost made my list, but Black Panther 1 is up there with like Shang-Chi, where I enjoy what they did creatively. It's not a movie that I will go and rewatch for any rhyme or reason. Like, I remember the story, I know what the movie's about, and I love what I saw, but it doesn't have the rewatch feature. But it has the same feature that says, no, I want this in my collection because I know what value that holds. And Black Panther for me was very much like Shang-Chi, where I liked what they did with it. I love the balance of very natural culture with like high-tech culture. Like that was really cool in Black Panther, and it was really cool in Shang-Chi. So for me, Black Panther, it sits on a pillar on its own. Like there is... You could take the word MCU or Marvel off of it, and it's still a beautifully done movie. So for me, it's in a league of its own. Like, it's not top five for me, but if you're going to sit there and say, hey, take your personal decisions out and what's top five, Black Panther's top three.
Okay. Well, I definitely disagree on the rewatch factor. I can rewatch Black Panther a million times.
I agree. Like, I could watch Wakanda Forever a million times, and yeah. It has nothing to do with Namor. Like, because of the way that they did fine comb it, because obviously they had to pay homage to Chadwick Boseman. Like you were literally going to lose so many people if you could not present this transition in a beautiful way because of the fan base that he had and the way that the community just loved him. But for me, it is the emotion in Shuri. Like, I could watch Wakanda Forever over and over because Shuri is pissed off and you can feel her emotion, like, through the character, how hard she's working on the heart-shaped herb, like, just how pissed off she is, like, becoming the Black Panther. That scene with Killmonger, oh, I get chills just thinking about it. So, like,
We should do that, too, on one of our future shows. We should talk about our favorite scenes even they're from movies they're not our favorite, but they're, you know,
we could do TV shows too, because there have been some scenes.
I was gonna say though, on Black Panther, you give me a real M'Baku on the first and second one.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That part where he says, "I will feed you to my children," I'm just playing, we're vegan. I was like, so my that part, like my kids, when they watch Black Panther, I know they do, because they start reenacting all of his lines, the chants and all that.
Yes,
he made that movie. But see, like our list, you guys enjoyed it for a lot of like emotional factors. For me, if a movie gets too emotional or it's too sentimental, for me, it's like, hey, I get it, you're going through it, but let's keep on moving.
If I don't cry and I don't have that emotional investment,
that's coming from Mr. Don't put your hands on me, don't hug me.
Yeah,
exactly. You just went full circle of who I am.
Yeah, okay. So like lose more clothes off, and then there's me who's like, let me feel all the feelings. Let me get emotionally invested into these characters. Let me build relationships with these characters, because that's what keeps me coming back for more. So like, honestly, yeah, you can have some badass fight scenes, but if I don't care about the characters and I don't like invest myself into who they are, that's why they need to have a balance of who they are in their real lives and who they are as like superheroes or antiheroes or villains. Because there are people like me who, if I can't see that you're a real person who has real things going on, and then like, this is how you're moonlighting, I don't care. Like, whatever, whoever, you have superheroes, cool. Like, you have superpowers, cool. Like, whatever. It's not as exciting to me because I'm not emotionally invested into the characters.
It's funny that you guys said that Guardians 1 has, like, no emotions. And then you go to Guardians 3 and it's super emotional, and Guardians 3 wasn't on my list.
But here's the thing, Lou. So, like, you just heard me say that I, as far as Guardians went, I did not really care about the Guardians until I saw the third movie. And now I was like, fuck, now I want them
back. That's why I was laughing. I was like, man, you just went full circle with that. But no, I mean, Black Panther, though, I'll fight anybody that says it's a bad movie. I think Black Panther is a great movie. I think Wakanda Forever is a great movie as well. But oddly enough, I want to see an animated feature of the story they would have went with had we had T'Challa. I mean, just, and I know they won't, because that is very disrespectful to many people.
I want
to see what the original plan was, because Chadwick Boseman, I mean, heck, many of my favorite movies he started. I mean, 42 is top five films of all time for me, and he played Jackie Robinson. He did great in Get Up as
James Brown.
Yep, like, so he's a great and talented actor.
Oh, very much. He was in Gods of Egypt. He played his role in a lot of movies.
20, what was it, 21 Street or Street 21? Bridges, yeah.
Bridges, yeah.
But so
yeah, he is.
It's a great movie.
I said we should do this in the future, but another thing about the Black Panther movie and why I can watch it again, that chant scene, because you mentioned M'Baku and your kids talking about like his stuff. When he comes out of that cave and his guerrilla soldiers, and they're doing that, the way they shoot that, I tell you, I swear I wish I was back playing football in college. Like, that's my hype chant. Like, I play that over. Oh, my God, I love that chant and stuff as they come out and you see their faces and like, oh, fight is about to go down. This was awesome. It was epic. I love it.
Because there's emotion in those characters moment.
Well, look at T'Challa. I mean, how many kids see him? And like, I mean, granted, there are evil people in the world that caught pictures of him when he was like, it was the wrong moment where he's like doing this, but like it's lower. So you did that on purpose. You knew what photo you were trying to capture. How many kids you think Marvel and the easiest sign to do for Marvel with no gear, no nothing, is this right here. And like, that's nostalgic. And no matter who the kid is, like, that's the easiest Marvel sign to do, because you don't need gear to do that. You just got to be you. So Black Panther, I mean, again, I'll say that time to time, it's in a league of its own.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's move on to the bottom of the heap. Dumpster fires, because not every Marvel property could be a perfect movie. Not every Marvel property will be a Black Panther. It just
some of them deserve to never have existed. The Marvels.
Yeah. So there are some duds that were made by other studios, other anyone that's tied to Marvel, and we're going to list our top five worst dumpster fire, the movies we just didn't like for whatever the reasons we didn't like. So who wants to go first?
I do.
All right, Sam. bring us in. Let's kick this off. What's your bottom five?
All right, I'm gonna stop with the fifth worst. Are you ready?
Okay. All right.
David, don't hate me for this.
Oh, right,
you're gonna say, damn it.
The 2008 Incredible Hulk.
To what? The two? Oh, you're so smoky.
Damn, looks like you're not meeting David in May.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Explain yourself.
Yeah,
what?
Please.
I don't know. It's just.
Well, weren't you only like 8 when that one came out? So, I mean, I guess.
I was graduating high school. I was graduating high school. Honestly, that was a really rough time for me. So maybe that was it. But I was, I don't know. Like, I don't have the rewatch. Like, we just watched it. Lou and I just watched it with our patron.
Tim Roth, Edward Norton. Like, it's this. Oh my God. He would, I wish.
I feel like it's too slow of a burn. Like, for me, I just like.
No.
I don't feel like it progressed the story very much further.
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, well, that's okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, hold on. No, hold on. I got it. But it. What do you mean? That's the whole reason. It's that foundation why we got the Bruce Banner Hulk and never got a Hulk movie. Because they were just banking on everything you knew from that movie.
Okay. Yeah. They were banking on it and they freaking fell short.
You sound like Lewis now. That's crazy.
You do sound like Lewis.
I knew I was gonna hurt David's heart on that one. Okay.
Heartbroken.
Number four is the Marvels. And the only reason that there's any kind of redemption on the Marvels is because of Kamala Khan. If not, that would have been number one.
Okay.
Number three. Fucking Love and Thunder. What the hell were they thinking? Like, literally, what were they thinking?
Taika couldn't get lightning twice. Couldn't get lightning twice.
Okay, this one is this one might be a shock to you, but number two is the Eternals.
As the worst?
Second to worst? Because I don't see how it's developing into everything else yet. Like, I want everything.
That's to be worse than Love and Thunder?
I mean, we're not talking about the five disconnected movies.
Okay, but for me, like, as a standalone, okay, these are my words.
No, I get it. You get to choose.
Hey, I feel great about your list because then I know my list won't be that bad.
Wow.
Okay, The Eternals, it was okay because, like, I knew, like, it was whatever. But honestly, it was just whatever. I wasn't super excited. Honestly, I was a little confused. And I don't like being confused when I'm consuming Marvel content. I was confused. Okay. Number one, Quantumania.
Wow. With King the Conqueror.
He was the only, like, honestly, the movies made in the past, like, 2 years. Have not like they're trying but they're not living up to the Avenger hype.
And you went straight MCU. You didn't go all Marvel and stuff.
Yeah, I went straight MCU on that one.
Okay.
So Quantumania was freaking weird.
Number one worst movie of all time.
Ever want to see that movie again, ever.
Holy shit. Wow. Wow. Okay, that's a list.
The only thing that I think is the only movie that I think is probably worse that I've seen in the past couple of years that I would never want to see again is Way of Water, Avatar.
Let's count that instead. Let's just say all of Avatars. But
I like the first Avatar.
Nah, too late. Too late. They're all trash. All the big blue Smurfs are.
All right. Okay. So we've shit on my list and we said, wow, Sam's fucking insane for this. So,
all right. All right. I'll go. God dang. Wow. Let me just get this out. So, my worst movies for valid reasons. Number one.
He's as if mine aren't valid.
Hey, you went for number one already?
They're not valid, but okay. Mine. Number five. Sorry. The top of the worst is Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
I forgot about that.
Trash. Like, I mean, Ben couldn't act as a blind man to save his life. There's moments where he's looking directly at the person, even though you can't see. Like, I do. I know you're. The acting is atrocious.
I really should have not just gone MCU because now, like, if I would have gone,
so many Marvel bad movies out there.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And what you just said about his acting as a blind person, 100% agree.
It's garbage. So, number four. So, this is different. Do not fly off the handle, Sam. Eric Bana's Hulk 2003. Which was completely cartoon garbage with freaking Nick Nolte and the trifecta freaking Severus dogs and all. It was, what the hell were you? Are you serious?
Can I be honest? There's only one scene I liked in the 2008 Hulk, and it was the when they're over
the hallway, the glass?
The glass hallway.
At the college campus, university.
That's the only scene I really cared to watch.
That whole campus scene and stuff. Yeah. So the 2003 Hulk with Eric Bana was just a mess. It was. They messed up his power base. Like, he struggled when he shouldn't have struggled in demonstrating of his powers with certain. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, come on now. Make up your. So I'm done. And then the graphics, I was like, dude, did they not up the budget a little bit more? Like on this, like I was taken out of the movie the whole entire time in the theater of the two times I went to go see it because I'm ultimately is an Incredible Hulk fan, Blurred Hulk, the name, extremely, extremely disappointed with that Hulk rendition and stuff. So it will always be in my bottom five.
I don't even remember I've seen that one once, I think.
So here's one from your list that I ranked as number three.
Marvel.
Taika. You messed up, man. You blew it. You had a perfect baby with Thor Ragnarok, and you gave us a crap Thor Love and Thunder. What the hell? You wasted Christian Bale's talents. I'm sorry. You wrote that, so you get
and you had Gore the God Butcher.
You wasted that man's talents playing an iconic character who you made a Uncle Fester. You turned him into Uncle Fester.
He's a sensitive and I little can't belly.
Unsee that ever. I will always see what's Christopher Lloyd's Uncle Fester and God the Butcher are identical. They're twin brothers. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Number two, coming in for Fox. X-Men Dark Phoenix. You phoned that shit in. The makeup was bad for the characters. The storyline was horse shit.
I think I saw that.
Dark Phoenix was the don't waste your time. Don't waste. It's a horrible it's one of the horrible additions to the X-Men franchise. Even the actors, here's how bad it is. The actor said this was shit. I told my agent I didn't want to be on set every time we're filming this and stuff. It was so bad. That's how bad it is. So number two, worse. And then my number one. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. I've preached the fact that I hated this character since Inception. Number one is Mr. 1980s Howard the Duck. It was horrible. The only thing I liked about it when I was a 10-year or 8-year-old kid watching that movie was I got to see duck boobies. That was it. That was weird and interesting.
You know what, Damon? I do not disagree with your list at all. I was literally playing into like the MCU. Yeah. So if I had to pick, like, yeah, but I do not disagree with your list at all. I went mostly at, like, I was straight MCU on my bottom five. But
yeah, it was bad. So Principal Rooney and Duck Boobies, and that it was just bad. It was bad. It was. I mean, Homegirl was really about to hook up and have bestiality on a Marvel movie that's for kids and stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like,
is that movie why you hate Howard the Duck so much?
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He set the tone.
Because I mean, like, his cameos are sometimes funny as hell.
So don't get me wrong. I like Seth Rogen, who's the voice. I like his cameos versions of Howard because it's kind of befitting to Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck movie tainted all of that. I can't see past that when they introduce Howard the Duck. So that's my top five worst Marvel made movies of all time. There it is. I'm sure there's probably others I'm not thinking about, but those are mine.
All right, Blue Knight, you're up. Five worst.
All right, so number five is Quantumania.
Damn. What?
I'm not like it. Nope. It's weird. If it's a dozen eggs, there's a few eggs that I want to keep, but majority of the dozen is bad.
And I think that the first time that we talked about Quantumania, I was like, oh, it was okay. And like, I played into it. I watched it again. And I was like, this shit sucks.
I disagree with both of you guys so hard, but okay.
That's fine.
My number four, I still haven't finished seeing it, but I've seen enough of it. The Marvels.
Okay.
Nope. Can't do it. It's
David, yeah. Did you like the Marvels?
I love Miss Marvel. I thought that was her breakout. That was her breakout role. Like
that was the only good thing about that movie. Everything else sucked.
If you removed her, this would have made the list.
So
it would have been number one if you removed her.
But I can't put it on there because she's a bigger Marvel fan than I could ever hope to be and stuff. Like she literally loves her character she knows about Marvels. And the fact she was in that movie, I don't mean to cut you off, Lou. The fact she was in that movie, I can't put that movie in the bottom tier of a ranking. If she was not in there and it was just Monica Rambeau and Captain Marvel, then yeah, I would squarely place that movie because of Singing World 2. It would definitely be in my bottom five.
With the fact that they did not give Monica Rambeau a bigger presence, better role. Like, I had such high hopes for Photon as a character when we got introduced to her in WandaVision. Like, I was so fucking geeked. And then we got what we got in the Marvels, and I said, what in the hell is this? Sorry, Lewis, go ahead.
No, you're good. So then my number three, continuing on with that pattern, is Captain Marvel. I didn't like that. Now, Captain Marvel, the only reason why it's on my list is I found it very boring, not really enjoyable, and at that era when it came out, we were in the depths of the Infinity Saga. And now you're throwing a new origin story. That story should have came out way sooner. Left it on the back burner. Let us forget about it. Like, oh, that's right. We do have somebody. I just thought, for me, a big contributing factor on why it's in this list is timing. You brought out an origin story in Phase 3 a little too late.
I think now we're at a point with the establishment of the MCU that like they can do things like that where they can introduce things a little bit later, start giving us origin stories a little bit later. But I don't disagree that timing can definitely be considered as weird that early in the MCU because this is not an experience you're getting from other TV shows.
Well, that and the way they built up the Infinity Saga was Phase 1, you were getting origins. Phase 2, you were getting a lot of sequels. Now, there were some that started in Phase 2, but by Phase 3, you were either closing stories or about to close stories. And now we're getting an origin story that takes place way prior in the timeline.
But they have to do that to an extent. Because mm-hmm. if not, then you're closing the stories, and the stories are closed, and there's no further continuation.
But her character is one they could have introduced, especially during this era of the multiverse or the Infinity Saga. Kevin Feige would walk around with the hats, bait everyone. Oh, he knows what he's doing. It's planned out. That movie did not seem that it was in the plan at all. There was no Easter eggs of that until Infinity War. There was nothing, not even a slight speckle. So for that one, that's why it's number three.
Damn. It's, I gotta say, it's in my top 10 of love movies and stuff. But for your premise, though, of just missing the of placement, adding a ton of bad timing, if I had to give a award to number six on my worst, it would be Black Widow. Black Widow completely missed the mark. And Black Widow has epitomized everything you just said as far as missed timing. 100% the definition of missed timing. So
Black Widow was on my list, but I didn't want to come off that guy's, oh, he just hates all the female movies. So Black Widow of the three core female-led movies, mm-hmm. that was the better of the three visually. But, I don't disagree. Timing for that, why'd you even make it? She's already dead.
Correct.
And not only that, like, give us – what was the place her and Hawkeye always talk about?
What happened in
Barbados?
Not Belarus. I can't. Budapest.
Budapest. Give us that fucking movie. You could have gave us that movie and we would have loved it. Not this one. So it was almost.
Well, you have to subscribe to their OnlyFans for that one.
So then, number two, and this one just irritated me, mm-hmm. was Iron Man 3.
Ooh,
what? Iron Man 3. That was not the trilogy finale that I wanted or should have gotten. Oh, let me destroy who Iron Man is, and then the rest of the saga, I'm still gonna be him, and that just that was nasty. And then the whole, the Mandarin's in there and really playing to the Ten Rings, and then you're like, no, just kidding, he's not. But then again, Infinity Saga villains, many of them were like video game villains, they weren't that good. And for me, that was, and then so the villains were weak, the story was weak. I just didn't like Iron Man 3.
So you like Iron Man 3 better? You dislike Iron Man 3 more than Iron Man 2 with Whiplash? Mickey Rourke's character?
So the reason why Iron Man 2, just like the Fox properties, for me, coming into it at a very young freshman in high school,
okay,
they just got some like soft spots for me. Like for me, I think the Daredevil was rad. All the X-Men, but that was like junior high school for me. So like they play a soft spot. Now looking back, I do think Iron Man 2 is not great. But for a part 2, it's like, okay, you can get better. But the part 3 didn't. And so for me, Iron Man 3 is number 2.
Honestly, I think we're just so spoiled sometimes. That, like, if we were to consume a movie that is not in the MCU and it's the quality of Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, we'd be like, dude, this is a badass movie, but we got Iron Man 1. And we are so spoiled when it comes to MCU material that we're like, no, I want that quality. I want to be on the edge of my seat as I was in that movie. I want that kind of action. I want that kind of influence. And when they struggle to deliver that same experience to us, then we're just kind of like, this sucks. But if they were to give it to us as a standalone film, not connected to something in the MCU, it'd be like, oh, this is kind of cool.
My number one is Thor Love and Thunder.
That movie fucking sucks.
But you stole the words in my mouth. Like I watched, what was the vampire movie they did?
You know why?
Mobius.
I thought Mobius or Morbius
I watched Morbius last night.
So I thought it was good. But what Sam just said, I thought it was good because I knew that was like 99 Cent Store MCU. Like that wasn't the prime cut. That was like, this is a straight to DVD Marvel. Like, I enjoy it. I liked it, but watching it, I knew this wasn't like, nah, this ain't ever gonna make it to the MCU. So for me, I thoroughly enjoyed Morbius, but just because I knew it wasn't part of like the main lineup. But had the Marvel that's running the MCU put that out, oh, you bet your ass, that'll turn around. This is straight trash. What are you guys doing? But I knew it was that like bootleg DVD style and Marvel, so I was like, I'm in. I'll watch it. Same with what's the other one that came out that was
kind of Morbius would have been a good movie if it came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
If it did, I mean, seriously, I would have like Blade, Morbius. It would have been a good movie then. It was not right for its time now. It just was, it was really dark. It was shot super dark. It was ridiculous. It's like you're trying to be Batman, and like that's not what Marvel is and stuff like that. It was weird. Yeah. It's definitely in my top 10 of worst movies and stuff. Venom 2. I love the first one. The second one, garbage. Didn't like Carnage. It just mm-hmm. I love Woody Harrelson, the actor, but that movie was shit. Also in my top 10 worst movies.
Now I'm a sucker for that, like, what is it, like the prequels you would call them of the X-Men films?
Yeah.
The Days of Future Past, First Class, and what's the last Apocalypse. Those mm-hmm. three. Except for Apocalypse looking like Doctor or Mr. Ooze.
With Moon Knight? With the Moon Knight as Apocalypse?
Yeah. I thought those three were really fun and really interesting.
Yeah. They were for what they were. I'm not a fan how they really emasculated Cyclops in those movies. Like,
oh, yeah.
he wasn't a leader. I wouldn't have followed him. He's no leader of the X-Men. Like, that never will follow that dude into battle. Like, literally, I don't know if you guys are Halo fans, but Cyclops was like Master Chief in the comic books and in the cartoon series. He in the Fox stuff, they're like, nah, we're giving Wolverine all of the bad boy cred and make this dude kind of a wussy and no one listens to him and follows him and this girl cheats on him and he's just, I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing? Like, this is, so I wasn't a fan of that, the way they did that, but yeah. I was also just excited just to get any, at the time they weren't really producing a lot of Marvel content, so I was just excited to get anything on the big screen and stuff, so
yeah. But yeah, I mean, anything outside of the MCU, I think, is probably going to be top 10 for me for worst movies. Okay. There are some that are soft spots, but comparing it to the MCU, there's not a whole lot. Like, I really like the Fantastic Fours. I enjoyed them, but I know they're not the MCU quality, but they were fun.
Yeah, yeah. They were what they were. Yeah, I agree with that. They were fun for what they were. I wasn't expecting high quality caliber from that, so...
Except Wolverine Origins. That was absolute trash.
What?
The Wolverine Origins, the Merc without the mouth?
Oh, yes. No, 100%. Yes.
For sure. Honestly, and even the things that were in my lowest five were not the worst movies on the planet. So I think we're blessed for that. Like I said, we're spoiled a little bit, and I think that that's something that we bring into the show a little bit. We talk about the things that we're like, no, we really wanted this, and they gave us this instead. But that is the magic that we get to create here on the Tribe.
Oh, yeah.
We get to bring that in.
I think Sam misunderstood the homework, and because there was more out there. I want Sam to redo her list and take Hulk 2008 off. And do all of Marvel properties. I want a revised list from Sam at the next show.
So. I will bring that. So we are hopefully going to be able to record next week for y'all to kind of give you a preview of what to expect from X-Men 97, what we think to expect, and just like an overall recap of kind of what that storyline is like. So we'll bring that to y'all hopefully next week. Be looking for it. We're going to be getting an X-Men 97 two-season premiere recap coming from the Tribe soon. So March 20th is when the show comes out. Hopefully we'll be able to record shortly after.
Yep.
I booked the boys. I'm scheduling them yeah, for the 20.
She took charge. She's like, this is how this is going to go.
I said, this is what's going to happen. These are the dates that we're recording, and this is the time we're recording, and here's what we're recording over. So we're going to show up. But honestly, life happens, and this is fun for us. So if we have prior obligations that we have to attend to, or if family stuff comes up, that always comes first. But we love our fans.
If they wanted to support us,
share us on all of your social media to begin with. Every time we go live for Walt's Apartment, or anytime that you are listening to an episode on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening to us, Podcatcher, go ahead and share it with friends and family. Get us out there. Let people hear the magic that we're creating, because we have so much fun doing this, and we essentially do it for free. So it doesn't hurt you to share the magic. Two, if you would like to become a Patreon, that will help us out. Go to Patreon at Walt's Apartment Podcast. You get some exclusive Wear in the Park discount codes there. You get access to our Discord and some other perks. You get some exclusive Walt's Apartment by Sunken City Designs merch.
Yep.
Go sign up at Patreon and follow all of our socials, Walt's Apartment Podcast. So that's where you can find us. And head to Rogue Comic Con.
Heck yeah. May 4th,
Medford, Oregon. I will be making my way by Stagecoach, apparently.
Yep. She should be leaving here in a few minutes.
Yes, I will. I'll be heading here soon. My horse and carriage is on its way, my buggy.
She'll be coming around the corner when she comes.
With your southern twang accent.
I do not have a twang.
You so do.
Y'all are wild.
Hey, a piece of weird. Hanging out the tooth and everything.
Y'all.
Wait, I say y'all a lot. Is that a southern
y'all better get to that.
Y'all. Yes, that's a southern
twang. You don't say thing. Y'all?
Because we know you all.
Okay. You want to know what we say in Chicago? Use guys.
I don't use guys either. I don't use women. Like, what? Why do you say use guys?
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, we hope you feel the pulse in your chest so you know you're alive. One team, one love.
Can you follow that up with saying, I hope you feel the pulse in your chest after saying, use guys?
Listen, our fans who are men will appreciate the fact that I just said that it's mine. I'm just kidding.
That's like a Goonies reference, right? Didn't Chunk Sloth say, hey, use guys?
He said, hey, you guys. In Chicago, we say, use guys.
I mean, in the Goonies, he used, if you think about it, though, the Goonies, he used a guy to get down. So, I mean,
he did use a guy.
All right, we are done with this conversation. This is so gotten off of Tribe content. All right, we are wrapping it up, and we'll see you next time on the Tribe. Peace out.